We have chosen a passage of scripture that is really, 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 really long. And it's on John 9, from verse 1 to verse 41. So I would like to ask you to partake with me in the reading. Hopefully you will see that some of the verses are in bold letters. And when you see those verses in bold letters, it's your turn. Okay? And I tried to prompt you on those, but let us read together the scripture in John 9. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And then he went and washed and came back able to see. Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man."
But they kept saying to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?"
And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight."
They said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know."
So they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. And now it was Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He's a prophet." His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how is it that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner."
He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. The only thing I do know is that though I was blind, I see."
So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?"
He answered, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You also want to become his disciples."
Then they they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as to for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing."
"You were born entirely in sins and are trying to heal us."
Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
"He answered, 'And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him.'"
Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." Blessed be the scripture of the Lord this morning. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the life that you give us. And thank you for bringing us to this place for us to hear your word. May the meditations of my heart, Lord, and the words we speak be a blessing to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for doing that for me and participating together in the reading of the gospel. Today we're going to think about the matter in which this blind man is identified by those that are around him, while Jesus provides him with a new way of seeing himself and identifying himself. And in the midst of all this, we'll also see that struggle and that conflict that is going on about Jesus' identity. You see, throughout the book of John and the gospel that he writes for us, there is that constant... Oops. I will cut that out of the recording. There's that constant theme. There's that constant idea that is being transmitted to us, and it has to do with what Jesus says of himself and who he understands himself to be. And of course, that comes in contrast with what other people say about Jesus. Today, this morning, we were talking about our identity and our understanding of ourselves and who we think, what we think of ourselves and what we are in the Sunday school. And we know that sometimes our identity is submerged or shared only in a skewed view of ourselves. So Jesus had to continually tell people who he was. Now, you know and I know that in life it is hard for us to see ourselves and understand ourselves, because we have other people trying to impose their view of us on us. You followed that, right? Their view of us on us? Okay, you're with me. All right. Their idea of who we are, they're trying to impose it on ourselves, and we're struggling most of the time with our own self-definition. Who am I, and what am I doing here? Now, I want you to know that Jesus was a human being. He was fully human. And he existed in a community of humans. He was not an alien from Area 51. Some of you know what that is, right? Okay. And you know how I know that? Because Jesus existed 2,000 years before Area 51. And not only that, but there have been no witnesses saying that they saw Jesus there. But Jesus ate. He drank. He slept. He took naps. He took baths. And yes, he went to the outhouse too. He experienced sadness and joy. And all of these emotions are human emotions. And that made me think about what being fully human for Jesus was. And I wonder what Mary told him when he was growing up. What kind of idea of himself did Joseph plant in his heart? And I wonder how Jesus discovered on his own how he was being formed and shaped for his mission. Now, we all have questions of ourselves, don't we? We have doubts. And we all struggle with identity sometimes, especially when we're 15. I know I was. 15, 16, 17, 20, 22, 28, 30, it kept going on and on, and sometimes I still struggle. But Jesus comes to this world with a new idea, not only of who he is, but of who we are. And we see this in this first scene, and the first scene there is fairly brief compared to the other sections, but it establishes a precedent concerning who the man is and who Jesus is. And now remember that he's first described as a blind man, but the disciples want to put another name on him. You remember? They want to define him as a victim. They ask, who's at fault here? Whose sins are the cause of his situation? And I think that they had a similar understanding of what we have nowadays in the modern world. Because we're always looking for someone to blame. Somebody has to be at fault. Of course, in their understanding, that came from a seated idea, a seated belief, something that was ingrained in their understanding, that sin was the root of physical ailments. I wonder, how would you run your life if you knew that your actions were going to have an impact in your children and their children and their children? I don't want to think about that. But what happens even today is that people still have this idea of defining people by their actions. Either you're at fault or you're a victim. See, people define other people by what they know of them. But what about what they don't know? I remember a fellow I worked with, his name is Carl. And Carl was always irate. He was ready to pick a fight at any time. He wasn't a bad guy. that he was always tense. And I remember that whenever you experience life, you know, when you work with somebody, you're there 8 hours, 10 hours with that person. And I remember that sometimes I would see him, and it's like the muscles in the back of his back were so tense that you could see him sprout up like that. And I was always wondering, why is Carl like this? So one day I go to lunch with him and I ask him, Carl, what's going on? And Carl confessed to me that he had had an accident while playing baseball. And that this ball had hit him in the side of his head, and that had caused him glaucoma. And the glaucoma was very painful, and he had to use drops. And these drops, although they eased the pain, they caused him to be irate. So you see, it wasn't his personality. It had nothing to do with his background. It was something to do with something that happened in his life and the remedy that he was forced to do. Now, what a discovery for me to learn about this. Because from there on, I saw Carl in a different light. From there on, I could not impose on him the idea that I had about him. Well, Jesus seems to have the same opinion about this man who was blind. There was no fault of his own or his parents. It simply happened. And it happened as a matter of course, so that their encounter could become an opportunity to demonstrate God's power. So he heals the man. I would not approve of the way that he did it, but nevertheless he did. And in the process, you see, Jesus provides him with a new identity to carry around with him for the rest of his life. While at the same time, he was reinforcing his own identity as one that comes from God, the Son of Man and the Son of God. He has the power to redefine who we are in spirit and in reality in this world. And what an awesome fact that is. Because Jesus shapes us and he can give us our own identity. Now the second section develops further this identity theme that we've been talking about. Here we find the ones that were questioning what happened. They weren't sure. They said, he only looks like him, but it doesn't seem like it is him. I don't remember him seeing. But this guy that was an ex-blind, I don't know how else I could describe him. I'm going to call him Joe. He insisted, no, it is me. I used to be blind and now I can see. You see, now I believe that Joe, all right, I wrote here ex-blind person, but I'm not going to read that. I believe that Joe, the moment that he was healed, was given a new identity. And he was already exercising what that meant. But the others were still insisting on defining him by their own terms. Not under the light of what Jesus had done. So Joe has to divert attention not to him, but to Jesus. And the moment that this happens, it becomes a matter of religious authority. Oh, wait a minute. It's Saturday today. How can a man heal somebody else on Saturday? You see, of course, the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jews had to get involved somehow, and they had to come up with an argument, and that was just right there in front of them. So they go on the offensive, and they start to attack Jesus and who he was. But that offensive was countered by a stubborn simplicity. No, it's me. And I can see. I really like this guy, Joe, because Joe tells them, I don't know everything about him, but I know what he did. And even this morning, we were talking a little bit about what evangelism is and what we consider ourselves to know to be about membership and what's the role of the church and all this. Just consider this. Joe didn't know everything about Jesus, but he knew what Jesus had done. And that's exactly what he was sharing with other people. This is what Jesus did. And that's the same thing that we saw last week, but perhaps you remember when we were talking about this Samaritan woman. This Samaritan woman was having this conversation with Jesus. And perhaps he didn't get all the pedigree, you know, who are you, what licenses do you have, you know, any of that. But she knew what he had told her about herself. And in the case of Joe, he found himself not in an easy situation, because the problem is when we tell people what Jesus has done in our lives, guess what happens? They're not going to believe us. It's not going to be easy. They're going to have their doubts. And they're going to say, oh, you're giving me this again. I don't want to hear anything about that. But then this man, Joe, says, this man's a prophet. And of course, the Pharisees have to go through all their legal thing, and they even call his parents, you know. Come on, tell us about this guy. And that doesn't work, because the parents just says, it has nothing to do with us. You ask him. He's of age. You see, people were still trying to define Joe, trying to get him to recant his testimony, trying to get him to say, no, that's not valid. We don't want to hear that. But he now had a safe understanding of himself. And he didn't have to lie about what had happened in order to face the world. And this is what I think is so important about Joe. You see, some people are healed and they go out and go to their homes. He could have done that. He could have gone back to his community, said nothing, and say, gosh, I am so happy. Now I can see, but not Joe. Joe said, gosh, wait a minute. Something has happened here. I can see now. Something happened here. And he knew that he had been freed from his condition, and the one who had freed him was Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I would say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I wonder, how do you see yourself on this side of salvation? Do you still face the struggle of other people trying to define you? Or do you know who has saved you from your own condition? Do you know who you are in Christ? And if so, are you a witness? See, when I was in high school, and that was a long time ago, Simone. I remember very clearly that when I entered high school, and I think every kid has this issue, right? You want to be identified with a cool group, right?
Oh, yeah.
You want to be in the in group or whatever clan there is that are cool. And when I entered high school, I saw these guys that were sitting to the side outside of the school, and they were praying. And there was something in me that would say, gosh, look at these guys, they're praying. Maybe I should join them. But then there was this, you remember last week we were talking about that. There was this other one, you know, over here talking. No, you don't want to go over there. You don't want to be tagged as the little Christian boy. You want to be tagged with the football players. And I remember a struggle in my old self, trying to figure out, okay, so what do I do? Who do I hang out with? Needless to say, I decided to hang out with the football players. Yeah. You see, I wasn't all that wise or had it going for me. I wasn't all that full of faith in this. No, I just wanted to be cool. And sometimes, even when we have been in Christ for a long time, that's all we want to be. Cool. I'll tell you, it took me about 12 years to recuperate from that one. It took me a long time to find out who I was and to come clean with Jesus and say, I'm sorry, God, I've screwed it up. That was a mistake. But know what happens. Know that Jesus, knowing that they had thrown this guy out of the synagogue, goes out and finds the guy. He went to look for him. And he goes back to that question of identity. And he reveals to this Joe what seemed to be a secret. And obviously, Joe is a man that is overwhelmed with this whole situation, and he doesn't realize who's in front of him. And you know what? That happens to us sometimes. Sometimes we say, man, I was lucky. Right? That card didn't hit me. Right? I was so lucky. Or, look, what good fortune did I have? I won the lotto. Yeah. I must have gone out on a good side of the bet today. You see, we don't realize what God's providence is doing in our lives. Sometimes we are so blinded by our own sense of identity that we forget who God is. And yes, I know that this was a major event. I mean, nobody that has been blind and now can see is going to say, oh, I'm lucky, you know. There was something awesome. But receiving your sight when you have not been able to see is not a small thing. So imagine, what does that mean for someone that didn't have a future with Christ and now has eternal life? How do you react? Are we aware that God is at work in our lives even today? And are we aware that God loves us? And are we grateful for the fact that He does love us? You see, this man says, Lord, I believe. And sometimes we find ourselves not believing that God can be God, that God can do great things in our lives, and that this Lord that we serve can do something amazing among us. It's like we don't really know or understand or realize whose we are. Now let me ask you this. Do you believe that God can do great things?
Amen.
All right, I heard three people saying amen. All right?
Amen.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that God can do great things for this congregation?
Yes.
I'm hoping that you believe that. And I'm hoping that the God that you believe in will hear your prayers. Because you know what? We need God to do something about this congregation, about this community, about this town, about this world. We need God to be here.
Amen.
And I wonder if you don't believe, maybe you have succumbed or you have been a victim of identity theft. Well, Lord, I believe. Dear God, I stand before you this day and in front of this congregation, realizing that in my own understanding, I may be confused. I may not understand all that you are, but I also know that you have done so many things in my life that you cannot be other than God. And I do believe that you are here, that you are among us, and that you are sharing life and journeying with us. And I know that there is a desire in your heart for us to do the same with you. And you have given us a purpose. As we were saying this morning in the Sunday school, you have called us out to be different, to be a royal priesthood, with the purpose of announcing all your good deeds. Lord, and I pray that this morning your Holy Spirit and power will enable us to do just that. Regardless of whether we've been in the church for 20, 30, 40, or 50 years, that we may proclaim who you are in our lives, to our family, to our friends, to everybody that is around us. Because not only do we love you, but we know who you are. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.